This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. In a highly controversial and closely watched case, the United States Supreme Court today ruled in favor of a Colorado baker who refused to make a wedding cake for a gay couple. In 2012, baker Jack Phillips refused to bake a wedding cake for David Mullins and Charlie Craig, saying their same-sex marriage violated his deeply held religious beliefs. The couple filed a complaint with the Colorado Civil Rights Commission and won, a decision which was upheld by the Colorado Court of Appeals. But today's 7-2 Supreme Court ruling overturns that decision. Phillips' lawyer, Michael Ferris, celebrated today's decision.
This case was decided because the Colorado was religiously biased against Jack Phillips, didn't show religious tolerance, didn't treat free exercise appropriately, and basically said religious people aren't free to be in the marketplace. And this is a reverse of that.
But many gay rights activists and legal analysts point to the very narrow scope of today's ruling, saying that that could be a victory for them. Here's David Mullins.
This doesn't mean that the Colorado Anti-Discrimination Act has been invalidated in any way. And we will continue fighting until no one has to experience the shame, embarrassment, and humiliation of being told, "We don't serve your kind here."
Well, there is a lot to dig into here. So let's start with Noah Feldman. He's a professor at Harvard Law School, constitutional law expert. Professor Feldman, welcome back to Radio Boston.
It's a pleasure to be with you.
So, I mean, first of all, how would you describe the scope and import of today's Supreme Court decision?
It's very narrowly written. Rather than declare that there is a simple solution to the deep question of what we do when people's equality to marry who they wish runs into somebody's liberty to make a cake or not make a cake with a message that he doesn't approve of, the court went narrow. The court instead simply said that under these particular facts, a commissioner of the Colorado Civil Rights Commission disparaged the religious beliefs of the cake baker, Jack Phillips, and for that reason, that on this particular procedure that applied to Phillips, needed to be overturned and done over again because his religious liberty was violated. So it's not a decision that resolves the big questions that were at stake in this case.
Right. In fact, Justice Kennedy, writing for the majority in his opinion, said that really, as you said, the issue was the hostility, in his words, that the Colorado Commission showed to the religious beliefs of Jack Phillips, right?
Exactly. And that is not the way that the parties who argued this case and took it all the way to the Supreme Court were thinking about it. The whole question of this particular quotes by the Civil Rights Commissioner only arose at oral argument in the case. It hadn't been briefed by the parties. It hadn't been focused on at all. And one way to interpret what Kennedy did is that he was trying to duck declaring some grand solution to the problem by instead focusing on the particularities of this particular process.
Right. Can I just jump in here, Professor Feldman? Sorry, but I just want to...
Sure.
I mean, Justice Kennedy pointed to a specific statement that was made by a Colorado commissioner in 2014, and that statement, I'm just going to sort of paraphrase here, was
sure.
About whether it be slavery or the Holocaust, we can list hundreds of situations where freedom of religion has been used to justify discrimination. And to that commissioner, it was one of the, quote, most despicable pieces of rhetoric that people can use to use their religion to hurt others. Now, Justice Kennedy, in his majority opinion, wrote that basically that sentiment is inappropriate, in his words, for a commission charged with the responsibility of fair and, key thing, neutral enforcement of Colorado's anti-discrimination law.
Yeah, so the way Kennedy decided the case is just to say that the fact that this one commissioner said this, and by the way, he didn't say it in the definitive disposition of the case, he just said it when he was thinking it over and talking it over in the course of a public hearing, was enough to say that this particular cake baker hadn't gotten a fair process because the government, that is to say the commissioner, had shown disparagement or hostility towards his religious beliefs.
Right. And in fact, Justice Kennedy pointed to three other cases that the Colorado Commission Against Discrimination had decided in the same period of time where bakers had been asked by someone to bake a cake with decorations that were opposed to gay marriage. They refused to bake those cakes, and the commission found that they weren't discriminating.
So this is a very tricky part of the opinion, and you'll have to, or your listeners will have to excuse us for going into the weeds just a tiny bit, because the justices actually split over these three other cases.
Right.
So these cases all arose when one particular person who was trying to kind of make a point on the other side went to three different bakers and asked them to bake a cake with disparagement of gay marriage. And as it happens, all those bakers said no. And so then this person went to the same Civil Rights Commission and said, hey, my religious rights were violated because they wouldn't bake these cakes. And the commission did not find that these three bakers had broken the rules. Now, why it didn't do so, it was exactly what was at issue here. Kennedy said that it didn't give a good enough reason for why it distinguished one set of cases from the other set of cases, why it said it was wrong to bake, to refuse to bake a cake for a gay couple, but not wrong to refuse to bake a cake that had anti-gay messages. And so that's, Kennedy used that as his basis for striking it down. Other justices who concurred even in the majority's opinion, and this is the part where it goes into the weeds, split on what should have happened in those cases. On the one hand, the liberals who voted with Kennedy, Justice Kagan and Justice Breyer, said that in their opinion, the court simply should have said, that, and the commission should have just said with respect to those other three cakes, that they're not homophobic and they don't violate, the bakers were not homophobic, so they didn't violate the civil rights rules. And so there's nothing wrong with the denial of baking cakes in those cases.
Yeah.
That's their opinion. That's what they think should happen when this case goes back again. But Justice Gorsuch, Neil Gorsuch, joined by Justice Alito, who were also part of the same majority, took the opposite perspective. And they said, essentially, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. And if, in the end, the court is going to allow bakers not to bake a cake with an anti-gay sentiment, then it follows that the same commission has to treat the guy who won't bake the cake for the gay couple in exactly the same
right.
way. So the court is split on that issue.
And I understand, and I grant to listeners that it might be a little hard to follow because it is in the legal
it really
weeds.
Is.
But, I mean, it's important, though, because, again, to go back to Justice Kennedy's majority opinion, he's basically saying that because of all these particularities around the Phillips case, also the fact that it was in 2000, the initial events happened in 2012 before gay marriage was legalized in Colorado. Because of all these specifics, he wants his decision or the court's decision to apply to this case only. And that's why people are saying it's very narrowly tailored. But, I mean, Professor Feldman, let me ask you, is that how it's going to be seen or even applied in future cases going forward?
Well, that's what the conservatives and the liberals were fighting about in their concurring opinions. The liberals want this to be a one-time-only case, and Kennedy's opinion leaves room for that. And the conservatives want this to be a precedent that says that if you refuse to bake a cake for a gay couple, you can get away with that. And that's why they wrote their concurrence in their way. And since both of them voted for the same opinion of Kennedy's, Kennedy's opinion was necessarily vague on this question.
Mm-hmm.
So it really did not offer guidance. And so now it's going to be fought out. The same discussion that you and I just had in the last 90 seconds is going to be replayed in the Colorado courts and very possibly in other courts around the country.
Okay, so it's going to be replayed in the Colorado courts because this has to be re-decided then? Or is the Supreme Court's ruling?
Because all that the opinion said was that this particular process has to be set aside. It didn't say what happens after it's set aside. Do they start from scratch and this time, without using any religious animus, still find against the baker, which is what the liberals would like to happen? Or do they start from scratch and say, okay, this is over, the baker goes free, well, he was never going to prison, but the baker is not civilly sanctioned, and neither will anybody else in a similar situation. That's what the conservatives want. So now that the whole thing goes back to the Colorado Civil Rights Commission and eventually to the Colorado court.
Professor Noah Feldman, stand by here for just a second because we got lots of other people who I just want to hear their takes on this really complicated but important Supreme Court decision. So let me just turn briefly, if I can, to David French. He's a senior writer at National Review joining us today via Skype. David French, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thanks so much for having me back. I appreciate it.
Also with us is Carol Rose, executive director of the ACLU of Massachusetts. Carol Rose, welcome back to you as well.
Good to be here. Thank you.
So, Carol, let me just start with you. You heard Professor Feldman sort of dissect the legal specifics in the rulings, the concurrences, and we didn't touch on Justice Ginsburg's dissent, which I will in a second. But do you really think this is as narrowly tailored as it's being described?
Yeah, no, I think it's an incredibly narrow ruling. I mean, specifically, the court did not say that you know, that there was a reason that you could discriminate, that you can use religion to discriminate against people. And I think it's important to also understand the distinction that the concurring opinion by Kagan made in terms of the cases where the bakers refused to put actually homophobic messages on the cakes. You know, as Justice Kagan wrote, a vendor can choose the products that he sells, but not the customers he serves, no matter the reason. So I think it's important for people to realize that there is no change to the longstanding rule that businesses that are open to the public have to be open to everyone.
David French, your take.
I think it's broader. It's obviously not as broad as it could have been. I mean, both sides are going into this wanting a sweeping decision on the hand on the baker side, saying that a custom designed cake is protected expression and that requiring him to make a cake for a gay wedding would be compelled speech in violation of the Constitution. Conversely, you know, the other side was saying, no, it's not protected expression and there's no religious liberty issue here because public accommodation laws are neutral laws of general applicability. And so neither side got it what it wanted on the maximalist position. But I think the opinion here is actually broader than many people realize in the real world. And that is because had the opinion stopped only with the commissioner's comments, this would have been an extremely narrow fact-specific case. Mm-hmm. But because it went on and it discussed the double standards and did so in a way that certainly made two liberal members of the court uncomfortable enough to write their own separate opinion, because it went into the broader double standard, what you now are looking at is a real-world situation where if you want to impose some sort of requirement on, say, a baker or similar type of vendor, then you had better be sure that that record demonstrates that your treatment of similarly situated people, say religious people who are protected under public accommodation law every bit as much as a same-sex couple, that religious people, when they have sought to have their messages put on or their expression put into, say, a cake, that they've been treated the same way.
Is
where things get difficult.
Yeah, so let me just, I'm sorry to jump in here, but to this point, though, exactly, it does seem as if Justice Kennedy is, you know, he went to the pains of saying, well, there are a myriad of different situations one can imagine with different decorations, different requests, you know, all sorts of things. And he says in the end of his opinion, the outcome of cases like this in other circumstances must await further elaboration in the court. So, you know, where's the broad real world impact that you're talking about?
Yeah, well, but he did not just leave it like, well, you know, you say tomato, I say tomato. It's who the heck knows. He does begin to outline some specifics. So, for example, in the free speech point, he starts to explore like, does the cake actually have a message on it? In other words, does it have actual words, implying that that's a different case from where a cake doesn't have any words or any symbols at all? What are the specifics of the public accommodation law? And what you often find going back to the real world, is these cases arise in a context of larger sets of decisions. And these larger sets of decisions, because these civil rights commissions are often very, very political, what you will tend to find as a pattern is a pattern of favoritism to one point of view or another. Well, and that's where you're going to get shut down after this decision.
Carol Rose, let me turn back to you for a second, because I'm seeing, you know, you pick any paragraph in Justice Kennedy's opinion and there's something interesting to talk about, because I'm seeing here he says, you know, if exceptions were not confined, then a long list of persons who provide goods and services for marriages and weddings might refuse to do so for gay persons, thus resulting in a community-wide stigma inconsistent with the history and dynamics of civil rights laws. Basically, warning against, expanding the scope of what he means to say in this ruling.
I think that's right. I mean, I think, you know, Justice Kennedy makes it clear, and then, you know, some of the other, both in the concurring and dissenting opinions, make it very clear that they don't want a broad reading of this. And in fact, what they talk about are the specific facts that the Colorado Civil Rights Commissioners said certain things that seem to be demeaning of religion. And what that says to me is that, you know, it's possible they didn't go to the actual merits of the case. What they said is that the hostility toward religion that was, you know, voiced by these commissioners tainted the adjudication process. They didn't say that religion will trump equality. And in fact, they went to great lengths to say that, in fact, that's not the correct reading of the case. And so I think what we have here is a requirement the adjudicatory bodies, when they take on these cases, to see, when they're balancing these rights, to make sure that they're, respectful of religion. And I think it'll be interesting to find out if the court uses the same sort of reasoning in the Muslim travel ban case that they're going to be deciding, where the President of the United States was very demeaning of religion, of Muslim religion in any event, of Islam. And so it'll be interesting to see whether or not they say that you cannot have that kind of adjudication, or you can't pass laws when the state is disrespectful of religion.
Yeah.
That's a very interesting ruling that has implications even beyond the same-sex marriage and equal rights implications of this case.
David French, your quick thought on that.
Well, that's where I'm going to agree with my friend from the ACLU. I found that very interesting. Now, Kennedy, again, as we keep saying, if you want to find aid and comfort in a Kennedy opinion, you will find aid and comfort. If you want to find something to discourage you, you'll find something to discourage you. But one of the interesting things to me were some of the quotes that he made, some of the things that he said surrounding evidence of discriminatory animus towards religion. And while he did not come right out and say that, for example, lawmaker comments as a matter of law should be considered in the analysis, he distinguished the situation by saying, well, some have said lawmaker comments, but this involves the actual adjudicators. There were certainly enough language in there to indicate to me, oh, I am seeing why the Supreme Court accepted the travel ban case and specifically wanted briefing on the Establishment Clause issues in that case. And I feel like we're going to get an opinion one way or the other in the travel ban case that really starts to more carefully and sharply define the parameters of when do you consider the stated motivations of a lawmaker.
Well, David French, senior writer at National Review, joining us today via Skype. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
And Carol Rose, executive director of the ACLU of Massachusetts, thank you as well.
Thank you.
We've still gotten Professor Noah Feldman from Harvard Law School on the line, but I want to get into other voices here, if I can. Mary Bonato, she is the Civil Rights Project Director at GLAAD. She's one of the legal architects that led to or advocated for many years for the legalization of same-sex marriage, both here in Massachusetts and in the United States more broadly. Mary Bonato, welcome back to you.
Thank you very much.
Also with us is Andrew Beckwith. He's president of the Massachusetts Family Institute. Andrew Beckwith, welcome to you.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
So, Mary and Andrew, what I wanted to discuss with you is sort of the legal particulars of both the decision and the dissent today really matter. But I just want to get a sense from you, from both of you, what you think the national implications more broadly are. Mary, is this a setback for gay civil rights?
I don't see this as a setback for civil rights for gay people or anyone else for that matter. I mean, the government does have a command to treat religion neutrally. And I might have evaluated some of the evidence a little differently from how the court did, particularly with respect to that other baker who was trolling around for anti-gay cakes. But when it comes to comments that are hostile to religion and so on, I think you can understand the point of view of the court to say this was not a neutral consideration of the case. It was not impartial, and it has to be set aside. I recognize that means that these two individuals don't have, the cake that they deserved and the civil rights and the dignity that they deserved. But I don't see this as a big setback. Quite the contrary.
Mary, just let me jump in here, though, because we haven't yet talked about Justice Ginsburg's dissent. And
right.
She basically looked at all the reasoning that Anthony Kennedy put forward and says she agrees with all those reasonings, but she thinks that the exact opposite conclusion should have been reached, that for everything that Anthony Kennedy said about the differing cases and the differing standards, in her mind, made the Colorado Commission's decision the right one. Now, but she's in the minority of two there. Does that not concern you?
It doesn't. The reason I am not overly concerned about that is because when I read the opinion, you see cases that were cited by the baker being used in support of non-discrimination. There was just constant reference to the importance of non-discrimination laws, the vitality of them, how they do not generally offend the First or 14th Amendments, citing the, famous Piggy Park case from over 50 years ago that really firmed up the idea that in this nation, when you're open to the public, you're open to everyone. There were many references to stigma that would be effectuated against gay people if you allowed religion to be used to discriminate. there was just so much about the importance of anti-discrimination laws that it's pretty hard, I think, to dial that back.
Yeah. Andrew Beckwith, your take on today's decision.
Well, I think in a sense I would agree with Mary that today's decision shouldn't be viewed as a setback for gay civil rights, in the sense that gay civil rights shouldn't require forcing people to violate their sincerely held religious belief in order to be seen as successful. So we see this as a 7-2 win for religious freedom for people of all faiths, affirming that they don't have to leave their sincerely held beliefs at the workplace door.
Mary Bonato, there's another point of Justice Ginsburg's dissent I just want to read to you. She said, when a couple contacts a bakery for a wedding cake, the product they are seeking is a cake celebrating their wedding, not a cake celebrating heterosexual weddings or same-sex weddings. And that is the service Craig and Mullins, the gay couple, were denied.
Yeah, I think she has a fantastic... I'm not saying I disagree with Justice Ginsburg's dissent. I don't. I think she has the better of the argument, but I also understand the point of view of the court about you can't have a commission that at least ostensibly is charged with deciding this thing and so on, even though, as Professor Feldman noted, some of the comments that were not made in the context of actually literally deciding the case. But you can't have this apparent hostility to religion going on. What can I say? I agree. And I think beyond that, you know, this idea of a double standard that Mr. French was referring to and so on with the cakes of the person who wanted the anti-gay cakes and what is this going to mean going forward, I want to say that I don't view this as a very big deal either, because going forward, I think it's really pretty simple for people who make products to say, we are not going to disparage other people, other religions, you know, when we make products for any reason. And if that's your policy, nobody can make you make cake. And, you know, I think these bakers maybe didn't, I mean, they had that policy in practice, but I think if that had been firmed up and it's firmed up going forward, that we're not going to have an issue here. And by contrast, I don't agree with what Mr. Beckwith just said at all. I don't think that's what the case said today at all, that you can use your religion to discriminate, that the opinion was careful to say exactly not that. But what I'm trying to say is that, if you have a policy that says we're not going to disparage people for any reason, that is a very, very different thing from, you know, a baker like Mr. Phillips who makes wedding cakes but refused to make a wedding cake as a matter of policy only for same-sex couples.
Well, let me give Andrew Beckwith a chance to respond to that.
Sure. I mean, the discrimination that the court ruled against today was the state-based discrimination against a person of faith and his religious beliefs. And they found that the Colorado Commission was disparaging towards both Mr. Phillips and his belief. And it's a belief that's shared by millions and millions of Americans, that marriage is the union of one man and one woman. And the court reaffirmed today that, quote, religious and philosophical objections to gay marriage are protected views. And so but what this decision says is that when you have these conflicts between, gay civil rights and the constitutional right to free expression, free exercise of religion, that there is a balancing test, and that the state, the government, can't put its thumb on the scales because it doesn't like the religious views of one of the parties.
Mm. Yeah, I don't want to mix apples and oranges here, because on the one hand, the decision itself, and I'm looking at it, says even though we have to respect, of course, not only the rights of gay people to be treated with dignity and respect, but also religious and philosophical objections, it is the general rule that such objections do not allow business owners and other actors in the economy and in society to deny protected persons equal access to goods and services. So I think the court sort of resolved where it stands on that issue.
Well, you know, we're just about to run out of time here, and obviously there's a much deeper discussion to be had, and we will continue to do so. But Mary Bonato, Civil Rights Project Director for GLAAD, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
And Andrew Beckwith, President of the Massachusetts Family Institute, thank you as well.
Happy to be here.
Noah Feldman, we've just got a minute left to go here. We heard a lot of legal nuance in the past 25 minutes or so.
You sure did.
But I just want to get, again, in the minute we have here, your last big picture take. Did the court miss an opportunity to provide some much needed legal guidance on this issue of what happens or what should happen when matters of religious belief do bump up against questions of civil liberties or gay rights?
I would say the court self-consciously knowingly skipped an opportunity to provide some guidance, because this is a very difficult issue and the justices themselves couldn't reach consensus on it. a lot of us can agree that everyone deserves equal dignity. A lot of us believe that individuals are also entitled to religious liberty. What do you do when those conflict? This is a deep existential problem. The court didn't have the answers. It didn't have five votes lined up behind the answers, so they didn't answer it.
Well, Noah Feldman is a professor of law at Harvard Law School. Thank you so very much for joining us today.
Always a pleasure, Magna.
Well, you know, guessing that you guys folks have a lot of reactions and questions and comments about today's Supreme Court ruling, so send us a tweet at Radio Boston, or you could hop over to our website, radioboston.org, and let us know what you think there. We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.